apologise before I bring a short message from the Bible tonight. We had prepared for the debut or the initial performance of the Emmanuel Choir, but sadly the winter got to them and that wasn't possible. But I have it on good authority that they will be kept together and their services will be used on another occasion. So thank you for those of you who were willing to sing in that group, and sorry that that wasn't possible tonight. But can I, before I actually speak from God's word, again welcome the new faces that we see amongst us this evening. It's good to have you with us, and thank you for braving the weather on such a cold and crisp evening. This evening, we come again to the message of Christmas, and because Christmas is such a regular part of our culture, it's never easy to come to the scriptures and think, well, what can we bring by way of some fresh emphasis from the Christmas story? Now, without hesitation, we would want to say Christmas is a time of good news. People in the world, and even we ourselves, say that Christmas is a time for the family. The message that was given to the shepherds, which we heard read to us tonight, said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." And we come with a positive opinion and looking for encouragement over the Christmas period. Those of us who are older, well, we hear it sung regularly, but some of us may have heard it when it was first released. "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." Well, we've got it. And isn't it a pain in the neck having to dig the car out and such like? We can have this nostalgia. We can think, yes, it's good to see the snow and to have a wonderful Christmas. But the facts are that there are people tonight sleeping on the floors of airports. There are people who have had to rearrange their holidays. And it doesn't always go to plan. How do we cope with bad news over Christmas? Because it does happen, doesn't it? I remember as a child, there was an old couple in our village. When I think of them now, they probably weren't that old, but to me they seemed very old. And she had been unwell for many, many years. And she was particularly sick for a couple of weeks before Christmas. And everyone expected her death to overshadow Christmas. But the reality was, her husband died just before her. Yes, she did die before Christmas. How do you cope with that sort of experience at Christmas? Those of us who were in the prayer meeting on Wednesday will have understood what I was praying about when I prayed about the funeral at Malpas Road this week. A young mother with two children gave birth to a third and yet had to undergo cardiac surgery and sadly didn't recover. How do we cope with bad news at Christmas? Difficult things do happen at a time when we're least expecting them and at a time when we are hoping that things will go well. Now, what's this got to do with the Bible story of Christmas? What has this got to do with the first Christmas? Well, the first Christmas was about real people. It wasn't about a nice, clean stable. And friends, I don't want to be too earthy, but as a teenager, I used to work on a farm, and my sister was the district nurse. And when we came home at lunchtime, when I'd been cleaning out the pigs in the morning, when I'd been there where the animals were, she refused to sit at the same table as me at lunchtime because I stank. That is the real world. That is the world in which we live. Christmas is about real people. We only want to hear the good news. But in fact, there was bad news at Christmas, or that's how it seemed to certain characters. Let's go back. You've got this young couple. In our culture, they would be engaged. This morning we rejoiced in the announcement of the engagement of Bethan and Gareth. And they and their families now are looking forward to a marriage. And that is exactly what was happening with Mary and Joseph, this young couple in the village of Nazareth. And suddenly, Joseph hears, your girlfriend, your fiancé, is pregnant. What? Now, let's be honest. We don't think of angels. We don't think of the Holy Spirit. That news would have come to Joseph, excuse me, and to put it in modern jargon, he would have been gutted. He would have been most upset. And the story in Matthew tells us that he was upset. He was ready to put Mary away. He wasn't going to marry this girl who had cheated on him. It was bad news, as far as he was concerned. Think of Herod the king, a fella who feared for his reputation. If anybody stood in his way, if anybody threatened his throne, he had one way of dealing with them. Off with his head. And that was how Herod felt when he heard that there was a new king born. Where is he, the wise men said, who has been born king of the Jews? So how do we cope with bad news at Christmas? Well, I've already referred to Herod. And we're told in the account in Matthew that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. How did Herod cope with bad news? He opposed it. How did he oppose it? Well, to begin with, he was deceiving. He spoke to the wise men. Well, when did this happen? And it would seem that they probably said, or something like, 2 years ago we started studying this and preparing for it. Now, my wise men tell me that the king of the Jews is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. You go and search for him, and when you found him, bring me the news that I might go and worship him. That is what Herod said. What was he doing? Was he genuine in the fact that he wanted to worship Jesus? No, he was putting on a mask of deceit. He was pretending he was religious. He was pretending that he was concerned. Because we find that eventually the wise men find Jesus. They bow down and they worship Jesus. But somehow God speaks to them and God says, don't go back to Herod. Go back to your country another way. And as a result of that, Herod reacted with horrible violence. And he gave this instruction that all the children in and around Bethlehem under the age of 2 should be slaughtered. How did Herod respond to bad news? He responded with deceit. He responded with violence. It's sad, isn't it? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. I think you'll find, friends, that that is true of both men and women. When things don't go our way, then we can be incredibly vicious. No matter how we oppose and cover up the bad news, we can't change it. We have to face it. And if we don't face it, it will destroy us, and like Herod, it may destroy others. But there were other people who were involved in this story with Herod. When Herod was asked, Where is he who is born King of the Jews? He did the right thing. He went to the religious leaders. And he said, where is the King of the Jews going to be born? And they went into their vast libraries. They took down the right scrolls and they said, here it is in the prophecy of Micah in the Old Testament. And it says here quite clearly, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They had the answers. But they didn't say, well, why are you asking the question? What is the interest that you have in this question? They answered from their books. They had all the answers up here. But it didn't change their life one iota. Herod opposed the bad news. The religious leaders ignored it. They just went on with life and thought, don't know, these are the words that are promised, but they did not change their lives. They didn't display any interest. And at that stage, they merely ignored it. That might be your response to the Christmas message. Well, it's all right for those people, but it's not for me. I don't want to get too fully involved in religion. I don't want to get caught up in these things. And let them get on with it. I won't stop them. And that's how the religious leaders were. They ignored it. But friends, 30 years later, when this preacher, or when this baby became a preacher, these people who had ignored him found that they could ignore him no longer because he started speaking to them. He said, you've got your religion, but in effect you're hypocrites. You're white on the outside, but inside you are polluted. And these people who had ignored Jesus at one point joined Herod and they opposed him. The bad news of Christmas. We won't let religion disturb our rituals, our studies, our understanding of religion. Friends, I want to say to you tonight, from the experience of Christmas, that if our religion does not stir us to action, it has missed the point, and it has no real value. Sadly, they were religious leaders, but they died without Christ. But let me take you to the key couple, in a way, in the Christmas story, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod opposed the news. The religious leaders ignored the news. But Mary and Joseph, a couple probably only in their late teens, found God. They found God in a new and a real way. And a way that changed their lives. Mary, a young, engaged woman. It didn't come easily to her. Can you imagine? Cleaning the house one day, and there's somebody strange in the room. You think, oh, what's going on here? And we're told in Luke chapter 1 that when Mary saw the angel, she was greatly troubled. Friends, when God is at work, we are troubled. And all people, including believers, will be disturbed. She was getting on with life. She was preparing for her own wedding, when God broke into her life. She wasn't expecting it. But we are told in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. God came to her. She hadn't been looking for God. She hadn't been looking for a new experience of God. But God had made the preparations. God had prepared for this young woman. She was preparing for marriage. She was preparing to leave her parents' home in order to go and live with her husband. But even though she had done everything the right way, she heard this news, you are going to become pregnant. And she was afraid. And friends, there are times in our lives when we are challenged by the teaching of the Bible, by the responsibilities that Christ asks of us, when we are afraid. I cannot commit myself to that. I cannot give up this. I cannot do that. And if you tonight are afraid of what Christianity might ask of you, you're in good company. Because Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mother, in effect, and many of you might be concerned when I say this, but in effect we can say the mother of God, because Jesus was both man and God. Mary was afraid. She was confused. She asks the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? It was against nature. She knew that she had maintained her integrity. When everything was explained to her, as it was in verse 35, the birth of Jesus was not natural, or the conception was not natural. We're told, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Even when that was explained to her, I wonder, did she really understand? Because I don't know if I do. I don't know how that happened, but that is what God had to say. But the fact is, friends, that when Mary received this news, which was going to cause her reputation to be questioned, she was ready to trust God. Verse 38 says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your words. How did Mary respond to the bad news, or to the unexpected news? She responded in faith. Friends, that is the basis of genuine Christianity. Later in the New Testament, we are told, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are you here tonight thinking that you, like Herod, have got to work it all out? That you've got to remain in control of your life? Are you like the religious leaders? I will study. I will find the truth for myself. I will do it myself. But you cannot, like Mary, say, I don't understand, but I am prepared to trust. And more than that, I am prepared to serve. She knew nothing about her son having to die before she did. She knew nothing about him becoming a great teacher and then becoming a victim of men's hatred. But she trusted God. Friends, we can only cope fully with life when our trust is in God. Trust, friends, is being willing to do what God wants us to do when we can't see where it's going to lead, when we can't see how it's going to work out. A young engaged woman found God. But there was a young engaged carpenter as well. I've already alluded to how he responded. He couldn't believe that his fiancée had somehow been unfaithful to him. He could not believe the story that she was saying, that an angel had spoken to him, and that she was pregnant, not by another man, but by the Holy Spirit of God. But God came to him again, one night, he was sleeping. He didn't have, if you like, an angel appear in his room in the same way that Mary did. But one night, when he was tossing and turning, when he was pondering all this, let's be honest, how would we have felt if the one that we were going to marry suddenly announced that she was pregnant? And this young carpenter, not a king, as his great ancestor David had been, not a priest who was from a religious family, not a prophet who had been studying the word of God and therefore understood the word of God, but a man that many would describe as Joe Blow, just an ordinary man. God came and spoke to him. He spoke to him in a dream. And God showed him that this was in fact no mistake, that he was to continue marrying, or to continue with the arrangements for his marriage, and he was to take Mary to be his wife. As he struggled with all of this, we are told in Matthew 1, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Again, would he have understood? Would he have been able to speak? But Mary found God, and she was prepared to trust God. Herod thought that he could work it out for himself. But how does Joseph, this man who would have been dismissed by so many people, we read when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What did he do? He humbled himself. Mary trusted. Joseph, I'm a man. I'm going to sort this out, just like Herod. That's how he could have responded. That's how he was responding. But when he met God, he said, I can't do it myself. Friends, you will never cope with the bad news of life. And life will give all of us bad news at some point. We will never cope with the bad news of life if we stand on our own strength, stand in our own authority. We will destroy ourselves and we will destroy others. But Joseph humbled himself and he obeyed. He married Mary. And when the baby was born, after that long journey to Bethlehem, after having to give birth in a stable, he obeyed and he called his name Jesus. Why did he call him Jesus? Because the angel had said, call his name Jesus. Why? Because the name Jesus means the Lord is Savior. Jesus, call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph knew nothing about Calvary. We can read the end of the story, can't we? We know what happened. But Joseph humbled himself, he obeyed, and he said, I don't understand how God is going to work this out, but I know that God is going to use this child to save other people. Friends, Christmas is full of bad and confusing messages for many. You look at the life of Jesus and it seems a failure. He rose to great popularity, and yet in the end he was rejected. He helped so many, and yet he was made a scapegoat. And yet the New Testament says to us, whoever has the Son, referring to Jesus, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let me ask you this Christmas time, are you like Herod, opposing the Son? Are you like the religious leaders, ignoring the Son? Or are you like Mary and Joseph, prepared to humble yourself and to say, I don't fully understand, but I do trust that God sent his Son into the world in order that I and many others who've tried to live on our own wits might be saved. The only way that we cope with the bad news at Christmas or any time is by trusting the God who spoke at Christmas and the God who became man at Christmas. Opposing him will destroy us. Ignoring him will lead us eventually to oppose him. Trusting him will give you the only eternal solution to your life and to this world. Paul wrote, for we know that in all things God works together for good to them that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Friends, how are you going to cope with the bad news of Christmas or the bad news of life without the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you to tell me how you'll cope without him. I'm pleading with you that you will trust and you will obey him and know that no matter what life throws at you, he will save you from your sins as you trust him. Amen.